5. Yes, I do know that. Okay. Session is also, is all committees next week too?
If they meet.
If they meet. Okay. I think, do you want to talk about the revival that starts?
Read about it. We got a lot to do this morning.
Okay. Well, in that case, does anyone else have any announcements? No other announcements.
Kim, you have an announcement?
Yeah, I have a...
Who's that about?
So, congratulations.
Did anybody have an
announcement?
Yes.
I forgot I was supposed to do this. I think if you've read your January newsletter, you realize what a great job we did of collecting from World Vision. It just so happens that fund was going to Myanmar, which was also touched by the tsunami damage. So, I'm sure World Vision will be active in using that money we collected. We didn't know why we collected so much extra, but maybe there's just going to be a greater need. I want to introduce our January outreach. Lisa Rimby has taken on herself to make pillow cases. They fit a travel-sized pillow, and she's making them in decorative colors, mainly for children. These she will deliver to Ronald McDonald House, which is a house in Nashville where families have relatives in the hospital can stay, and also to Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. She's made 90 some cases. She has no internet for them. So we are taking upon ourselves with our outreach to collect pillows. They're travel-sized pillows. She says she can get them at Walmart for $2.50. So if you're in Walmart, pick up a travel-sized pillow. You can bring it and put it in the collection box of the gym. Or you can note a donation of $2.50 or any multiple thereof, put it in the collection plate, and Lisa will go buy the pillow. But she's gotten started on such a good outreach herself and just needs the funding to get the pillows inside, so we're going to help her with that. So we'll see how many pillows we can get by the end of January.
Okay. Any other announcements?
Some money went to relief in Southeast Asia through the denominational fund through Church World Service. We kind of work through other organizations that are already in place.
Yeah. I think anyone who's watched TV knows what a devastation that has been, more so than I guess we even know. Any other announcements? If not, please be sure to register your attendance in the pads that Joyce is passing out. Prayer request. We do want to remember everyone, continue to remember those over in Southeast Asia. I'm sure there's probably numbers that we'll never know that could be added. Just devastation. Unreal.
Harold's uncle, his name was Bob Reeves. Forgot his first name. Bob Reeves, he passed away. The funeral will be Tuesday in Memphis.
Okay.
Robert Reeves.
Robert, the family of Robert Reeves.
Her father's youngest brother.
Okay. Becky?
Just an update on Yaroslav Savetta and Amelia. Savetta was discharged from the hospital after her car accident on the 24th. She was discharged on Tuesday. Not because she was better, but because she was going to get better care at home than she was in the hospital. And she tried to get an x-ray of her foot because Russia is basically shut down from now until the 11th of January. They're not doing any x-rays either. So we still don't know if it's broken or if it's just had a bruise. So, and by the way, the very last little bit of paperwork went in on the 27th. And my daughter-in-law, who's visiting, looked at the paperwork and said, it's awesome. So we, so we're prayerful. In the next 2 weeks, please keep that visa application in your prayers. We will know by 2 weeks from Monday what happened, what the decision is.
And I'm sure, please let us, keep us updated as you find out.
The scripture lesson, as normally, is on the insert, only a portion of it's there. I gave the wrong numbers to secretary, and we have it printed on the, we have a Bible in front of you, you should it's printed on the back of the sermon outline, the full scripture lesson.
Okay.
That's why that double printing is there.
I want to just one more prayer request.
Okay.
John Bondet and the family, John's son over in Ocala, on January 16th, 2000, about a prayer.
Okay. Are there others? If not, please remember those that have been mentioned this morning. Continue to lift up those that are on the prayer list. Please pray for our armed forces wherever they may be. If you could bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. If you will turn in your bulletins. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For great is God's steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Let's all stand this morning, turning our hymnals to hymn 76. That was a pretty weak praise the Lord this morning. Can we get another one? Praise the Lord. Thank you. Hymn 76.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God empty, the triumphs of His grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the bow of cancelled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood of Him for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, His praise ye dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leave me lame for joy. My gracious Master, God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name.
Let us bow for prayer.
Lord God, thank you for cleansing us through the blood of Jesus. Lord, as we come today, we ask your help in using this one tongue that we have to bring praise to you. Lord, we know that your servant James wrote about the control of the tongue and how it could be used for bad, and how we need to be careful using it. They also talked about using it for praise, and we thank you for that opportunity. Lord, give us the desire to offer praise and glory unto you, and give us the ability, be it with melodious notes or simple words. Thank you, Father, for your love to us. Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege of coming apart from the world. We thank you that you brought us through a year, in our case, safely. And Lord, so many blessings you have poured upon us. And as we enter into the new year, or as we are right on the edge of it. Lord, we pray for your watch care and your protection. Lord, we come confused and not understanding about floods and earthquakes and death, especially the magnitude that we see and hear about the other side of the world. But Lord, we pray for your direction in how we should respond. Lord, now we come remembering Jesus' teachings, the teachings of prayer, and we offer our prayer, praying His prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Turn in your hymnals to hymn 166. 166, We Three Kings.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, brook and mountain, following yonder star. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to Thy perfect light. Born a king of Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Child of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to Thy perfect light.
All of these verses are important. It's a long song, but let's sing the last three verses together and then sing one chorus at the end. Alrighty? So we're going to sing 3, 4, and 5 together without a chorus. Here we go.
Where have I incense on the deity night? Prayer and praising, all is praising, worshiping God on high. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume, breathes alike a gathering gloom. Sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Glorious now, hold Him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, earth to heaven replies. Star of wonder, star of light, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to Thy perfect light.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
morning. We are blessed and honored to have a friend of Gail Winnett's here with us, and he's going to do our special music this morning, Mr. David Crispin.
David's going to give a testimony too. He is?
I bring you greetings from Union Congregational Church of Braintree, Massachusetts. I think I'm sitting over in the Yankee section over there. And I hope you guys can all understand my... They tell me I have a Boston accent. I go park the car, you know. This song is one of my favorite songs. And a year ago, I could not sing this song, I'll tell you that. And I'm convinced that the Lord does watch you in times of trouble. And I'm glad to report that I can sing it this morning. So, I think, anyway, we'll let you be the judge. Melanie? Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, doubt and a fear, though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. And his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I know he watches me. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you, David. I hope next time you're visiting that you will bless us with song next time. Thank you.
It's a mandate
now. Okay. We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Offertory sentence today comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 50, verse 14. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Would our ushers come forward at this time? Jeffrey, I know this is short notice, but could you read our scripture this morning? Do you have the... Do you have the insert? I do if you don't.
We read from Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that He lavished on us with all the wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth, in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. The Word of God for the people of God.
There are a number of directions one might go in expounding upon or preaching from this passage. You find the word predestination, but we're not going to deal with that today. I want to talk about blessings, those spiritual blessings. But before we get into spiritual blessings, think with me about some physical blessings. Physical blessings that you have. We can easily see our physical blessings. We, in Middle Tennessee, they're all around us. We have so many that we don't know what to do with them all. Did any of you happen to go to the convenience center, a nice word for the local dump, Sunday? Did you go last Sunday? Understand that was a long, long line. I didn't go then. I waited till Monday. I think different days, there were different hours in that day, there were numerous lines there. Wonder how much stuff that some people would consider a blessing was thrown away. The man that's probably been there the longest, it might be between Chuck and Steve, but Chuck often says that people bring all kind of goodies. And Chuck one time had them spread out in his front yard, I think, down Sanford Road. But silverware, just to mention one thing, whole sets of stainless steelware, silverware, household goods, glasses. Think of your physical blessings. And then think of things like the weather. Is that a physical blessing too? Through nature. So especially compared to what happened in the Indian Ocean and those countries around there. And think of the house you live in, the clothes on your back, the car that you drive. Think of your job and your family. But Paul is writing this morning about spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. We've one of the Thanksgiving songs that remind us to think about our physical blessings is "Count Your Blessings." And every year at Thanksgiving, Melanie will ask us, "Let's don't play that one. Did she slip out?" Yeah, she took care of it. She'll come back she'll sit through the sermon in the second service, okay? But she says, evidently that's a hard song to play. Does anybody know that? "Count Your Blessings," any pianists? And we can enumerate them. But could we ever count them all? But can we ever count all of our spiritual blessings? Paul lists some spiritual blessings in this lesson today. And that's what I want us to look at today. Blessings that are available to us in Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we call them unseen blessings. But they may, having received them, they show up in our life, in our faith, in our action. These are eternal blessings. All of these material blessings will rust or corrode or tarnish. But what about these spiritual blessings? They're eternal. Paul begins this passage where we started at verse 3 by thanking God for the blessings that Christians have received, believers in Christ. And we know about those blessings, but it's good often to review, is it not? Because our mind may be a little cloudy. Things get in the way. Actually, as you read the passage, he praises God. He doesn't just thank God for the blessing. He praises God for these blessings that have been given to us through Jesus Christ. Verse 3 begins, praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Praise to God for His blessings. He, God, has blessed us. And Paul says, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything that we need has been given. He wrote it to the Ephesian church, but it's a message to you and I today. Now, what are these blessings? And I don't think this is an inclusive list, an all-inclusive list. But the first blessing that Paul mentions in this passage is that God chose us. God chose us in Christ or through Christ. Through Christ, God reached down and chose us to be a part of His family, to be part of His fellowship. To quote Paul, God, through Jesus, picked us up to be His own. Picked us out to be His own. And that's a paraphrase. But I'm not the first one to attempt that. God picked us to be His own. And He didn't just pick us and sit us over here on the side to fend for ourselves. As David so beautifully expressed in the song, He continues to watch over us, not just to choose us and then leave us alone, but He continues to watch over us. Examples of God choosing people throughout the Bible, we could go back to Abraham. Actually, we could go back before Abraham to Noah, could we not? To think of one that God chose to be His own. And then the most popular one, I guess, is Abraham in the Old Testament. From Abraham, we can follow the line down to Jesus Christ. The lineage. Or follow Christ's ancestry back to Abraham. And God chose Abraham. Nothing special about Abraham that we can discover. God just chose him out of His mercy and grace. Genesis chapter 12. What a moving story. How God chose Abraham over other people. There were others around, but God reached down and chose Abraham. Another Bible example from the New Testament is how Jesus chose disciples. He went down by the seashore one day to the fishing village and found some people. And He says, I want you to be a part of my work. I want you to come and go with me. I want you to quit fishing for fish and go to fishing for men. Then He walked by a tax collector's table and saw this man called Matthew. And he said, come and leave your table and go with me and be one of my disciples. Jesus choosing disciples. I'm not sure how glorious that was at that time. But looking back, it's really glorious. That opportunity that He gave them. We know something about choosing or being chosen. We participate in choosing a president. We participate in choosing a governor. And we even have the privilege of choosing our friends. Most of us can pick and choose who our friends will be or who we want to be friends with. She's not here to defend herself, but Carol claims, her claim is, that she chose me. Now what a bad choice, some will think. Yes, she married beneath herself in her raising, but she chose me to be her husband. And I can testify that it's great to be chosen. In that situation, 36 plus years now. And I've never not wanted to go home. After I got home, I wish I hadn't got home sometime. You men will understand that. But I've always wanted to go home. But the message this morning is really about God not choosing someone else. Not choosing Jesus, not choosing someone else. But the message here is about God choosing us through Jesus Christ. And that's a blessing to me, to you. It's a blessing to all if they'll recognize it. They may not recognize it, but it's still a blessing. God choosing you. The best response I can give to that is wow. Wow. Great. Thank you. Praise be to you. He chose us for a reason. Not because we were better than anybody else. Because Most of us probably were not. Not because we had more talents than anybody else, because most of us do not. He chose us to be holy and without blame before Him. To be, not because we were. He chose us to be blameless before Him. Holy before Him. He chose us in love, and He saw in us what He could make out of us. He chose us not for what we were, but He chose us for what we could become in Him, in Christ. What He could make of us if we would allow ourselves to be molded by Him. He chose us to be holy. That means to be set apart. Set apart for a special purpose. He chose us to be without blame. Not that we were without blame or without fault or blameless when He called us or chose us. But through Christ, He would make us blameless. Because Christ would take all that was in us that anyone could blame us for, any unrighteousness, and take it upon Himself and leave us pure and spotless and blameless through our faith in Him. And He chose us in love, walking before God in the sphere of love. Chosen. Chosen we are. Chosen to be adopted as God's sons and His daughters. Adopted into God's family. To be His family and to be highly favored. And then Paul says, it pleased God to choose Him. He didn't choose us because we were all that was available. Or He didn't choose us with great sadness. The Apostle Paul says that He chose us and it pleased Him that He could choose us. He was pleased with His choice. You know, we may, in our situation, we may have a Cadillac appetite, and we used to say a Volkswagen Beetle pocketbook, and then with alcoholic drinks, we have one appetite, but a pocketbook that fits another product that we don't want to mention in church, do we? But we talk about it. And we would rather have this, but we ended up with this. We were not really pleased. One day after maybe I shouldn't tell this story, but let me tell it anyway. After a terrible, tumultuous time in wrestling with a church session over the preacher's remuneration, that means how much they're going to pay him. Okay. And at another church, at another life, almost, okay? And we wrestled and wrestled and we came to a conclusion, and one man looked at me and said, "Well, are you happy?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm happy." He said, "Well, how could you be happy?" I said, "Well, there are degrees of happiness. You know, they could have made me happier, but they chose not to. So I was happy, but not as happy as they could have made me." See? Shouldn't tell those terrible stories about yourself, should you? Okay. They were a tight church. You had to pull everything out of them that you ever got from them. And they were plenty able to do it. Okay. But another story. But God, He chose us. And He was happy with His choice. What it says. It pleased Him to choose us. It's not because He couldn't get anybody else. Because He could have anybody He wanted. But He chose us. That's a blessing, isn't it? To me, that's a blessing. To be chosen by God. in Christ. In Christ, we receive this blessing of God choosing us. And there are other blessings that are ours. In Christ. And only in Christ. There is redemption. In Christ, God has redeemed us. Redeemed us through His blood. We know the death on the cross. The death of Jesus was payment. Paying the price. To deliver us from the bondage of sin. So He redeemed us from the bondage of sin. Like the Israelites were redeemed and saved from the bondage of the Egyptians. And then, verse 7b and verse 8 speaks of another blessing, forgiveness of sin in Christ. God has blessed us by forgiving us all of our sin. Forgiving us of all of our sin. Released us from the bondage of sin. Yes, with the shedding of Jesus' blood, He has provided for our forgiveness. So, He chose us. He redeemed us. He's forgiven us. And then, God trusts us with His plan. He revealed to us His plan. And beginning the 12th of January, we're going to talk about discerning God's will for this particular church. And Paul speaks of discernment, or revealing, God revealing His will to His people, or giving His people wisdom to determine or to understand or to comprehend God's will. Paul says, shows us His plan to gather into one all things. And basically He is talking about Jew and Gentile alike in one family, who came into one family, one group, under the Lordship of Christ. And then in verse 11 and 12, He speaks of another blessing. He gives us an inheritance. An eternal inheritance. And then in verses 13 and 14, He speaks of the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit as a seal. Seals us. He writes, having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit that Jesus promised when He was speaking to His disciples. It's recorded back in John chapter 14 and chapter 16. And Paul says of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit abiding in Christians is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Kind of like earnest money. Guaranteeing heaven. This morning I can say, praise be to God for these blessings. The elements on the table before you. The bread represents Jesus' body, broken for you. The cup, filled with the fruit of the vine, represents His blood shed for you. A body broken to pay for our sin. Blood shed for the forgiveness of our sin. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, We do thank you this morning and we praise you for these blessings. And as we come to this table, Lord, we pray that you will use them to help us to understand more fully what blessings they are. Help us to comprehend and help us to appreciate what you went through to provide our forgiveness. Forsaking your Son. Watching Him suffer and bleed and die. Thank you. Amen. Steve and Sam
and Ed and Jim Baker, if you'll come and assist me. Chapter 26, verse 26 and following. And Jesus was eating the Passover with his disciples, remembering how God had delivered their ancestors from the bondage of the Egyptians. And while they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken the cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." Bread and the cup, representing the body of Jesus. Your visitor this morning, we practice what is called open communion. We don't claim this table to be this church's table. Even this denomination's table, this is the Lord's table. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're invited to eat and to drink from this table, remembering His sacrifice for you. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for this bread, but we thank you for what it represents. And we thank you that Jesus was willing, that you were willing for him to die for us. Lord, speak to us through this prayer, this day. Lord, for the blood of Jesus, we don't understand how something red can make us pure and quiet and spotless. But we know it's a spiritual matter, isn't it? That sin stains. The shedding of Jesus' blood pays for our sin. It's our faith in His sacrifice. Through it we are cleansed. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
more than the rest of it.
But do I put it in the trash or throw it on the ground? That didn't seem right
either.
No,
it's not. You might have the hardest time with
throwing it away. So I
have
to worry about it.
When we do way too much communion, yes, and I throw it on these cups and what. But
he wants to make sure. Rather have more than enough.
And I thought about doing every other morning.
Are those empty?
Yes, they are
empty. Oh, there's enough there to give those to the people that aren't really.
I'm going to fix another one. Right. Okay. Sure. Yeah. That'll be our extra one. The problem is, though, he never hands them out in the same direction. And so I did that one time, and he gave that to the first person, which is a full section over here, and of course they didn't have.
So
he did reverse. So I was like, Larry, you messed me up.
I never even realized all that has to go on. But Larry did point out to me that he takes it twice. And Sam takes it twice if he sees it. So it's okay for me to take it twice.
So has
it all
the family. Yeah, I made the announcement.
Blessing on it.